All right, go with me back to Mark 15. Mark chapter 15. This morning, we looked at our Lord's crucifixion and death. And in that, we saw substitution and satisfaction, right? Substitution and satisfaction, the gospel. That is the message we gather around every single time we come together, isn't it? Every single time. It's the only message a believer wants. Let a man stand up. You know, you think, well, haven't we heard this? Let a man stand up and not preach Christ crucified and see how God's people react. If we are wondering, is this really the only message we want? Let a man stand up and not preach Christ crucified, substitution and satisfaction. And let's see how God's people respond. This is the only message God's people want. This is our hope. This is our hope. So many people hope in so many things. This is our hope. This is our foundation for worship. People always want to know, what do you all do over there in worship? We sing about Christ crucified. These songs we just sang, those verses, was that not the gospel? We sing about Christ crucified. We read about Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified. And we pray and give thanks for Christ crucified. And then we go home. That's the center of our worship. It's the foundation of our worship. And our Lord told us over in 1 Corinthians 11, He said, I want you to show these things. The commandment is believe these things. And He said, I want you to show these things. And we're showing the Lord's death. We are showing our desire to be a partaker of that substitution and that satisfaction when we observe the ordinance that we're going to observe tonight. We are confessing publicly, I desire to be a partaker of this. I want to be a partaker of this. I'm not okay with this passing me by. Jacob said, I will not let you go except you bless me. We all say that knowing I can't lay hold of him. He has to hold on to me and not let me go except he bless me. Yet, don't let me go except you bless me, please. In Mark 15, verse 34 says, And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard, said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Can you imagine that scene? Can you imagine that scene? And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, when this centurion saw Christ crucified, he said, Truly, this man was the Son of God. When he saw how he died. I think about whenever the Queen of Sheba went to see Solomon, when she watched his ascent by which he ascended his throne. When this man saw how he died, the glory in this death, he saw this, it wasn't like the other deaths. He didn't just die. He saw that man just gave up his ghost. And he said, truly. He was listening that whole time, you know, are you the Son of God? Are you the King of the Jews? Pilate asking him that, and everybody mocking him, and that centurion was watching and listening. He listened to the message he preached. He heard everybody crying, his blood be on us and our children. And all of a sudden, he saw his eyes watched Christ crucified. And he said, that was God. That was God. Truly, that was God. The Son of God. When a sinner sees Christ crucified, when he finally sees who died. This was not just another man who died. People die all the time. People die all the time. This was not just another man who died. This was not just a martyr. When he saw who died, and when sinners see who died and what he accomplished in that death, they all say, truly, this man was the Son of God. That Ethiopian eunuch, Philip, went and asked him, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I except some men tell me? And he said, would you come up and sit in this chariot with me and tell me about these things? The place of the scripture which he read was Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Like a lamb dumb before his shearers, straight into the slaughter. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Through his stripes, we're healed. And he said, there's water, what hinders me? He said, if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. He said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he's God. I believe he's God, the sovereign God. I believe he did this on purpose. I don't believe that this was an accident. I don't believe this was anything other than the sovereign salvation of God Almighty on sinners. This man was the only man who could take the sin of his people on himself and still satisfy God. I have sin on me, and because of that sin, I cannot satisfy God. This was the only man who could take that sin upon himself and still justly satisfy the demands of the holy God. This was the only man who could do it. This was the God man. God himself did this. Truly, that was the Son of God. Have we seen that? Have we seen that? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Have we seen that? Truly, this was the Son of God. Now, seeing that, when a sinner sees that, it creates a response in a child of God. It creates a response in those who have been given the same heart as these women right here in this text. Verse 40 says, there were also women looking on afar off. They were looking on him. John wrote, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon. We've seen him and we've looked upon him. And he said, our hands have handled of the word of life. We've seen him and we've looked on him. We have not yet physically seen him, but we are looking on him right now. We're looking on him right now. We haven't seen him. One of these days, blessed are these eyes. They're going to see God. One of these days, we're going to see God. But right now, we don't see him. But we look on him with eyes of faith. We are looking on him right now. Verse 40 says, "There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Josie, and a woman named Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him." That's what God's children do. They follow him. Those who are partakers of this heavenly calling, those who have fallen in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what being a follower of Christ is. It's falling in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean falling in love with him. And those who have, follow him. They follow him. Verse 41 says, "Who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him." They were his servants. "They ministered unto him, many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem." They were all his servants, and that's what we are. We are his servants. We follow him. We look to him. And in this ordinance right here, as we partake of it, as the Lord commanded us to do, "As oft as you do this," he said. And I remember somebody pointed out, he didn't say as few times as you do this. He said, "As often as you do this." As often as you do this, we are confessing something. We're confessing publicly, outwardly, some things concerning our Lord. Now, in this text, we're going to read, we see what's going on. We understand our Lord gave up the ghost, and that centurion said this man was the Son of God, and these women are looking on him, watching all these things. And as we read it a moment ago, this man, Joseph of Arimathea, is going to beg his body and take him down and put him in the tomb. And in this story, I want us to look down through this story. I saw seven things that we are confessing in this table. This table represents this event. This is a picture, a type of the event that we're reading, the Lamb slain. And in this, there are seven things that we confess when we partake of this. Here's the first one. Verse 42 says, "And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God." When we partake of this table, we are confessing that we are waiting for the king. When, as oft as we do this, we are reminding ourselves, we're reminding each other, that we are waiting for this king. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He said, "What would you have me to do with this one whom you call the king of the Jews?" He put a sign above him as he hung there, "The king of the Jews." Every time we take this table, we are confessing, we're waiting for the king. We're waiting for the king. We're going to keep doing our jobs. We're going to keep loving our families. We're going to keep marrying and giving in marriage. But all the while, may this never leave our minds, we're waiting for the king. The king is coming. This king is coming. And we're waiting on him. That's what we do. We're confessing that through his death, we have been made fellow citizens with the saints of God. Fellow citizens in this kingdom. We're waiting for this kingdom. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 verse 14 says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Isn't that wonderful? Fellow citizens. In remembering what he did for us, in laying down his life, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Isn't that what he said? I'm leaving to go prepare a place for you in his Father's house. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And in partaking of this ordinance, what we're saying is, thy kingdom come. We're waiting on the king, waiting on his kingdom. He said, watch, you know not what hour it's coming. You don't know the hour it's coming. And all of God's people say, come quickly. Come quickly, Lord. Go with me back over to Mark 15. Mark 15, verse 43 says, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. In this ordinance that our God has given us, when we take this, we confess that we crave the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He craved. He said, I have to have it. He craved it. I have to have that body. Can we be satisfied without it? Have you ever craved something? I got to have it. Can we be satisfied without it? Look with me at John 6. Turn with me over to John 6. John 6, verse 53, our Lord said, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Isn't that what he said? No life in you. Verse 58, he said, this is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Live forever. What that means is, he is my life. Joseph craved the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my life. I live by him. I live by him. And I do. I live by him. I can't make it without him. I mean physically, through this world. I couldn't have sanity without him. I couldn't keep going without him. I just couldn't. I live by him. Our Lord said, this is my body broken for you. God's people crave that. They crave it. Back to Mark 15. Here's the third thing we're confessing in this. Mark 15, verse 44 says, and Pilate marveled if he were already dead. The crucifixion was a very slow and painful death. You suffocated. Fluids filled your lungs. It was a long process, and sometimes it took days before a person would die. And they did not want anybody hanging on the cross during their Passover feast. How ironic. What did the Passover represent? Christ on the cross. They observed that for 2,000 years. Observing Christ. What is that? Christ on the cross. Broken body, shed blood. And there he is, Christ on the cross. And they said, we better get him down quick. We don't want him ruining our feast. So they said, we're going to break everybody's legs and speed up the suffocation process. And they came to our Lord, and he had already given up his ghost. And he said, you're not going to break one bone in my body, representing his people, his bones. He said, you're bone of my bone. You're not going to touch my people. You're not touching my people. I'll give up my ghost before you touch one of my souls. So they didn't break his legs. They didn't break any bones in his body. And Joseph came and begged it, verse 44, and Pilate marveled if he was already dead. Calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And Joseph bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where it was laid. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. In openly confessing his sacrifice and partaking of his table, we are anointing and honoring him in what he's done for us. That's what we're doing. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, they did the same thing that Joseph and Nicodemus did. They all did the same thing. Look with me quickly at John 19. John 19, verse 38 says, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. They wrapped his precious body in the finest linen money could buy. Nicodemus brought 100 pounds of the sweetest spices that had ever been mixed. And that's what these women did. They honored him. They anointed him. They brought these spices to anoint him. They acknowledged him to be the king that he is. They wrapped him in the king's linen and anointed him. And so do we. So do we. Where do we want all the honor to go? Right there. Where do we want all of the anointing to go? I mean all of it. Him. Right there. It all goes to him. All hail the king. I can't wait to say that. All hail the king. Crown him, Lord. I love that song. Crown him, Lord of all. Crown him. Revelation talks about God's people receiving crowns. He says they're all going to just take them off and start throwing them at his feet. Crown him. Crown him. So we're waiting for him. He said, this do in remembrance of me. We're waiting for him. We crave his broken body. We anoint and we honor him. Back in Mark 15, here's the fourth thing we confess. Actually, Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 2. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. In taking this table, this is what we're saying. Lord, we come. We come. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. If a person does not have a desire to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, if a person has no inner desire to come to Christ, then he has no reason to partake of this table. That's what we're saying. Lord, we come. We come to you. We come to your sacrifice. We come to the washing of this blood right here. We come to this fountain of forgiveness. We come. If a person does not have that desire, then that person should not take this table. This table is not for everybody. It's not for everybody. This is for those who come in the heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. They come as the beggars they are. They come as the sinners they are. They come in need. They come for mercy. And that's what we're doing. They came, and so do we. We come. Out of my sickness, this is what one song says, out of my sickness, into thy health. Out of my want, lack, and into thy wealth. Out of my sin and into thyself. Lord Jesus, I come to you. I come to you. I come in the heart. Another song that I love says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. I do, I come. I don't want to stand here, I come. Here's the fifth thing we're confessing in this table. Mark 16, verse 2 says, very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. Entering in. Look with me at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 9 says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Our Lord said, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Isn't that what he said? Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And then, do you know what his commandment is? To all men. This is his commandment to all men. This is his merciful call to his people. He says, enter in. Enter in. The commandment to all men is enter in. The merciful call to his people is enter in. Our Lord said, enter ye in at the straight gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Enter in. Entering in is absolute commitment. Absolute commitment. All of my eggs are in this basket right here. That's it. I am not content to just stand here at the door. I'm not satisfied to just stand here at the door. I have to enter in. I cannot imagine how many people were standing just outside the door of the ark when God's judgment rained down. I cannot imagine how many people were right there That much separated them. Right there. Probably had their hand on the door. Can you imagine? Right there, when God's judgment rained down. You know what salvation is? Entering in. Entering in. Now, if I am going to enter in, God is going to have to put me in. God put Noah and his family in the ark. That was God's mercy to Noah. But this is all my desire. Here's what I'm confessing. You're going to have to put me in if I'm going in. But this is all my desire. In that last words of David, this is all my desire. This is all my desire. I want to enter in. Lord, would you put me in? I enter in this heart. Here's the sixth thing that we're confessing in this table. Back in Mark 16, verse 5 says, "And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." When we take this table, this is what we're confessing. We believe you. That's what we're confessing. We believe you. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." And what a comforting remembrance it is. We believe you. Over in Matthew's account of this, it says the same thing. These ladies entered in and they saw this man, and he said, "You seek Jesus, whom was crucified. He is not here. He is risen as he said." Just like he said. He told you this. He said this is exactly what would happen. This is what happened. We believe you. We believe you. Just like he said. He said he bore our sins. Now let me just say this. I can see my sin. I'm looking on him with eyes of faith. I haven't seen him yet. But I tell you one thing I can see. My sin. But you know what he said? He said he bore my sin. Isn't that right? He said he put my sin away in this burial right here. When Joseph of Arimathea put him in that tomb and closed it up, he said he put my sins away right there. He said he has redeemed us back to God through this resurrection that these ladies are being told about right here. This angel said, "He is not here. He is risen as he said." All the children of God cry, "We believe you. We believe you." Mark 16, here's the last thing, the seventh thing we're going to confess in this. Verse 6, "He said unto them, Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man." They didn't stop and have conversations. They were running with a straight course to God's people. "Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid." They went and did exactly what God told them to do. What did God tell them to do? He said, "Go and tell." Go and tell. Our Lord gave us this ordinance right here to openly confess what is secretly in our hearts. These things are in the secret of the heart. And he gave us this to confess that. I don't need this ordinance to wait for him. I don't. I don't need this ordinance to crave his broken body. I don't need it to anoint and honor him. I don't need this for that. I don't need this ordinance to come to him. I don't need this to enter in the heart. Enter in. This is my all. I don't need this ordinance to say to him, I believe you. But this is what he said to every soul that he has chosen to show mercy to. He said, you go and tell how great things the Lord has done for you. Go and tell. Go and tell. He told these disciples, you go unto all the world. Verse 15, he said unto them, go unto all the world and you preach this gospel. You go and tell how great things the Lord has done for you. And that's what we're confessing. Before God, before men, this Lord right here, this King, the Lamb of God, the one who made himself to be my sacrifice, the sacrifice for sinners, he's done great things for me. I mean, he's done great things for me. I'm so unworthy of him. I'm so unworthy of him. He's done great things for all of us. If God put us in Christ, we are blessed. We are blessed. And we confess him. Didn't he say, confess me and I will confess you? You know what he meant by that? I have confessed you. And we do. We do. We confess him because he confessed us. He confessed us to the Father. All right. Brother Tony is going to come up and read for us.